In der heutigen Folge habe ich Vignesh Devraj zu Gast, meinen Ayurveda-Arzt von meiner Panchakarma-Kur, eine internationale Ayurveda-Koryphäe und Speaker und ein wundervoller Mann, der einfach unglaublich tiefes Wissen hat, weil er aus einer ewig langen Ayurveda-Familie kommt.
Usually people would come and say, I'm quite healthy, but I just want a rejuvenation. But when you take the consultation, you realize he's not sleeping well, his digestion is not well. It's just that he's surviving and looking outside, he's looking healthy.
Yeah.
But when you go deep inside, he's having his own inner troubles.
Yeah, it's
and
just so normal.
You're just surviving.
Yeah.
And they feel tired, they feel bloated after food, they're having difficulty to fall asleep, and they have digestion issues, gastric troubles. So in such a condition, when you do this panchakarma, a huge world of difference will happen in their life.
Ich bin Dana Schwand, mit Da ist Gold drin. Ich freue mich wirklich, wirklich, wirklich sehr, heute endlich dieses Interview mit dir teilen zu können. Warum endlich? Weil ich es Ende 2019, vor über 2 Jahren, aufgenommen habe in Indien auf meiner Panchakarma-Kur. Es ist ein unglaublich inspirierendes, super, super lehrreiches Gespräch. Vignesh ist wirklich Ayurvedi durch und durch. Das war aber nicht immer so, obwohl er in einer Ayurveda-Familie groß geworden ist. Also sein Vater ist auch Ayurveda-Arzt und hat ein Krankenhaus, ein ayurvedisches Krankenhaus in Kerala in Indien. Und er brauchte eine Weile, um zum Ayurveda zu finden, über seine Verweigerung bezogen auf Gesundheit und ist dann immer kränker geworden und ist darüber dann zum Ayurveda gekommen und hat dieses wunderschöne Sitaram Beach Retreat in Indien, Kerala, gegründet. Und ich spreche mit ihm über diverse Dinge, warum, also wie Ayurveda in Indien gelebt wird und was es braucht für einen gesunden Lebensstil, wie das in der Familie funktioniert, wie eine Panchakarma-Kur funktioniert, was die Grundlage ist für Krankheiten, wie Westeuropäer sich diesem Thema nähern können und so weiter und so fort. Das ist wirklich eine richtig, richtig tolle Folge. Es ist ein Interview auf Englisch. Ich hoffe, dass das für dich dennoch funktioniert und ich würde mich riesig freuen, von dir zu hören, wie es dir gefällt. Jetzt noch ein paar Infos in eigener Sache oder in unterschiedlicher Couleur. Also, falls du Interesse hast an einer Panchakarma-Kur, wir verlinken natürlich alle Infos zu Vignesh in den Shownotes für sein wundervolles Sitaram Beach Retreat. Außerdem bietet er eine 6-monatige Mastermind an für, die heißt Ayurvedic Healing and Beyond, für Ayurveda-Praktiker, Mediziner, Gesundheitscoaches und Heilpraktiker und TCM-Praktiker. Also richtig, richtig cool. Wir verlinken das auch. Kannst du unter vignesh.devraj.com/mastermind dir angucken. Auf jeden Fall richtig cool. Guck da auf jeden Fall mal rein, wenn dich das interessiert. Ansonsten ist wichtig für dich zu wissen, wir haben was richtig Cooles geplant, weil damals, als ich in Indien war, hat Vignesh für alle Gäste an unterschiedlichen Abenden, ich war ja 3 Wochen da, Vorträge gehalten zu diversen Themen rund um Ayurveda. Und er hat mir erlaubt, diese Vorträge, ich habe ihm ein Mikrofon in die Hand gedrückt und mein Telefon da dran geklemmt und dann habe ich diese Vorträge aufgenommen. Und diese Vorträge werden wir jetzt innerhalb dieses Podcasts ab morgen als eine 6-tägige oder mit heute 7-tägige Podcast-Special-Reihe mit Dr. Vignesh rausbringen. Das heißt, seine Vorträge zu diversen Themen rund um das Thema Ayurveda. Morgen kommt zum Beispiel das große Missverständnis über Doshas, also die Konstitutionstypen. Übermorgen geht es darum, wie Gefühle unsere Krankheit, unsere Gesundheit beeinflussen und unsere Heilung oder eben nicht Heilung und diverse andere tolle Themen. Also mach dich auf was gefasst. Erstmal auf das Gespräch mit ihm heute und dann auf die Podcast-Reihe. Ab morgen bis nächste Woche Mittwoch gibt es jeden Tag einen Vortrag von dem wundervollen Dr. Vignesh. Ansonsten noch ganz kurz in eigener Sache. Und zwar habe ich in den letzten Folgen ja schon angekündigt, ich wollte dich da einmal noch dran erinnern, dass mein neues Buch Easy Detox mit Ayurveda auf dem Markt ist. Und wenn du dich für dieses Buch interessierst, wenn du dich an sich für Detoxen interessierst, und zwar auf die, wie ich finde, individuellste, einfachste, unkomplizierteste Art zu Hause, dann ist das Buch auf jeden Fall goldrichtig für dich. Und du findest bei uns alle Infos unter ichgold.de/easydetox. Aber das Buch gibt's auch überall in jedem Buchhändler, in jedem großen und kleinen Online- oder Offline-Local-Dealer. Hol dir das auf jeden Fall. Wir haben schon so viele schöne Rückmeldungen bekommen, wenn Detox dich interessiert. Und dann wollte ich dazu noch einmal sagen, und im März, 11. bis 18. machen wir zum Buch eine Live-Begleitung. Also das Buch ist die Anleitung. Du brauchst das Buch für den Kurs. Aber ich möchte gerne mit dir für eine einfachere Umsetzung noch für das Buch mit dir das Ganze eine Woche lang einmal durchgehen. Es gibt 3 Workshops, es gibt eine Facebook-Gruppe, es gibt tolle Meditationen, tolle Infos noch von mir. Du kannst mir alle Fragen stellen innerhalb dieser 3 Workshops, und das Ganze kostet nur 49 €. Und anmelden kannst du dich ab sofort unter ichgold.de/easydetox-week. ichgold.de/easydetox-week. 49 € eine Woche lang live mit mir anhand von dem Buch Detox im März. Da freue ich mich schon drauf. Ich mache dann auch mit und habe dann selber auch was davon. Ich freue mich. Ansonsten kann ich nur sagen, ganz viel Spaß mit dem tollen Gespräch mit Vignesh. Und ab morgen starten wir rein in die Vortragsreihe mit diesem wundervollen Arzt.
Okay, thank you for taking the time.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Dana.
In your busy working environment, busy, to talk to me about Ayurveda. It's really interesting how in the West we tend to think that everybody in India has it so much easier because they all do yoga and they all do Ayurveda. And yeah, I'd just like to know, is that the truth? Is everybody just growing up with yoga and Ayurveda?
No, that's definitely not the truth. I mean, first of all, we need to understand India has over 1 billion people. It's another planet on its own with different languages. Every 200 kilometers you travel, you'll get different cuisine, different accent, different language altogether. However, Ayurveda is practiced by many people, but definitely I cannot say that everybody is following that. Also considering the history of India, that it was colonized. During the colonization, Ayurveda was destroyed to a great extent. So only where good Ayurvedic doctors survived, their Ayurveda cherished.
All right.
So in some parts, it is not developed, like in some, for example, in Kerala, it is practiced well. And there are even many cities in North India where Ayurveda is practiced really well.
So there's like the normal allopathic system.
Yes,
is
allopathic
present.
System is still considered to be the mainstream in many parts. But if you go to rural areas, you'll see a lot of Ayurveda being practiced. There are even folklore practitioners and healers practicing it. But if you go to the main cities, allopathy is the mainstream.
Interesting.
And considering the fact that it's a very diverse country, you have all systems of medicines there.
Yeah.
But it is not true to say that Ayurveda is practiced by everyone.
By everyone, right. So how did you come to Ayurveda then?
No, that's mostly because of my family. Even though I was not so much interested in Ayurveda from my childhood, because the medicines they gave me when I was a kid, when I fell sick, it didn't taste good. So I had an aversion towards that.
So they did practice Ayurveda? Your dad is a doctor?
Yes, yes. My father is a doctor, and when he saw that I finished my school, now I have to do my further studies, he told, you have to do Ayurveda because there is nobody else to take over the business. And it started in 1921. So in 2 years, we become 100 years. So
100 years.
Starting from my grandfather.
Wow.
So
awesome.
Then I didn't realize what it was at that time. Just saw my father practicing and being a workaholic. And making medicines in our pharmacy. This is something that I saw, but I never saw the true meaning of how it is actually changing people's lives at that time. Till I went through a severe allergy by myself. And I was trying to take medicines, Ayurvedic medicines, it didn't help. Then I tried allopathic, it gave me symptomatic relief. But then my father told, you cannot continue like this, you have to do the intensive panchakarma cleaning therapy. And the day I did that, I felt a world of difference in my energy, in my health, in my vitality. So that completely got me hooked into Ayurveda.
So why do you think did you actually in the first place develop these allergic symptoms?
Because I was living a very unhealthy lifestyle. Mm-hmm. I never gave so much of thought to diet at that time because I was studying outside. Okay, when I stayed at my home, my mother would control. But when you go out of your cage, I had this binge eating of especially with sugar, sweets.
Mm-hmm.
So that created that problem. And then later I realized there is a limit for everything in your body.
Mm.
So this treatment helped me change. And after I changed that, then I realized how can I continue this?
Mm-hmm.
So then I got so much into concepts of Patya. Patya is like Ayurveda's concept on diet, lifestyle, what is wholesome to you.
Mm-hmm.
All of this came into that picture.
All right. And then what happened then? Your dad went, yay, finally he got it.
No, actually it was a different way. Actually, I was practicing with him in his clinic in the city.
All right.
Okay, there were lots of people with different diseases came there. However, I was missing the element of nature there.
Mm.
Even though the clinic was fantastic, many locals would come there and people had good treatments. I wanted a place where I could set up the same healing systems with the help of nature.
Mm.
So I told him I wanted to start and he said, okay, go do your own. Then I said, okay, fine. Then we found a place near a water body which became a beach, which is a beach,
yeah.
And we have a garden. We actually created this garden and then we replicated every treatment that we do in our clinic here. And the idea actually came because after I did my first Panchakarma, I was looking for another center where I could do with some nature surroundings. And whenever I was looking for that nature surroundings, it was mostly a wellness resort where they practiced some good Ayurvedic treatments, but not the intensive cleaning of what you see in a clinic.
Mm-hmm.
That healing aspect of a doctor and clinic was completely missing.
Is it even allowed? Like, could those retreat resorts even, are they allowed to actually do the full treatment?
Yes, it is allowed. Doesn't mean that they are not allowed. It's just the vision of who is running that.
Yeah, all right. Yeah.
And the purpose behind you run that.
All right. So that's why you then started. And then, like, for me, it was, like, it's the first time doing this. And for me, I thought, why would you even bother doing it, like, just some other way rather than this? So what is the benefits of actually doing, I don't know, let's call it the real thing, like the full Panchakarma, like all treatments, compared to doing it the way many other resorts do it, like just going there, having everybody do the same and just a mild version? Does it still help? And what is the benefit of this?
No, it depends on what you truly want.
Yeah.
If a person is really committed, I want to change, then a place like Sitaram will definitely benefit them.
Mm.
Or a place where they practice the intensive Ayurvedic therapies, that will really help them. But usually people go for such places only when they are in a last minute hope, you know.
Yeah.
When nothing else works, that's when they go.
Yeah.
But if you are someone who is so much, health is one of your priorities. You want to have your vitality. It's just not that feeling good. You know, usually people would come and say, I'm quite healthy, but I just want a rejuvenation. But when you take the consultation, you realize he's not sleeping well, his digestion is not well.
Mm.
It's just that he's surviving and looking outside, he's looking healthy.
Yeah.
But when you go deep inside, he's having his own inner troubles.
Yeah,
and
it's just so normal.
You're just surviving.
These days. Yeah.
And they feel tired, they feel bloated after food, they're having difficulty to fall asleep, and they have digestion issues, gastric troubles. So in such a condition, when you do this Panchakarma, a huge world of difference will happen in their life.
Yeah.
So it is about what they want. And if health is your priority, then coming to a clinic like Sitaram will be a life-changing experience. But it is more of, I want to start, I want it mild, I just want a vacation, I would like to have, it's about your need. It's not that one is better than the other. It depends on what is your need.
Mm-hmm. So probably the only prescription to come here, like the real, either you want to have it, like it's your priority, or I guess if this is more the clinic type, if you have like a serious illness, this would probably be the choice, right?
It is not about serious illness. I mean, 70% of the people who come here don't have a serious illness. It's mostly a lifestyle problem. They could have high blood pressure. Women, they could have irregular menstrual cycle or stress-related issues, lack of sleep, burnout, and they're feeling, they're holding on to water in their body, tendencies of arthritis, or they wish to improve the quality of their health. These are the reasons, but to what intensity you want the change? Here the change will be more intense because we created that environment where the possibilities of distractions are very less. We don't have a television, we don't have a buffet, because most of the times people fall sick is because they are not able to control the food they are eating. So we give them a limited portion, but at the same time nobody told us this portion is less. Maybe in the first day they told, it looks small, but after 2-3 days they feel, oh my God, I feel so energetic after the food. So we are giving them a space where changing of the past habits and falling into new habits become easier.
I totally get that. Can you talk a little bit about the difference? You know how we, like most Westerners, don't get, what is the difference? You know, they think, okay, we've got the medicine, like allopathic medicine, and then we've got like all these little therapies. You can go to a osteopath or to an Ayurvedic doctor or a homeopath, whatever. But I always see it as like a whole different system. So can you maybe talk a little bit about the differences? Like what is like normal medicine and the Ayurveda medicine?
See, first of all, we have to respect the mainstream medicine, or what we call it as the allopathic medicine. It is only because of the allopathic medicine that our longevity has increased so much. I mean, today we don't worry about smallpox. We don't worry about polio. And we don't worry about society being wiped out because of a plague or many of the infectious diseases that could, you know, just wipe out a society. And that is because of the modern medicine. But if you follow modern medicine for some of the lifestyle diseases, then you're only surviving. You're just alive, but there is no life inside you. And if you look at the history of the evolution of modern medicine, I mean, one of the forefathers of modern medicine's evolution is Louis Pasteur. He came up with the concept of germ theory. Now, how he came up, he, whenever people fell sick, he would take the body fluids and check in the microscope. They all had microbes in the body fluids. So he thought, okay, if they are sick, they have microbes in their body. Like microbes means bacteria or germs or virus. So sickness means they have microbes in their body fluid. So possibilities are it is the microbes that created the disease. That is how he came. Okay, it could make a correlation. But let me give you another example. Imagine there is a city. You know, every city produces lots of waste. Now imagine all the wastes are piling up because the people who are supposed to collect the waste, they go on a strike. They say that we are not going to collect the waste. So once the waste keeps piling up, it will start attracting lots of rats. And what do these rats do? They go and eat the waste and they will put the leftovers in different parts of the city. So imagine a new tourist is coming to the city. He sees that, oh my God, look at all the waste these rats are bringing. He sees that the rats are taking the waste from somewhere else and distributing throughout the city and making the city look more polluted. So he realizes the only way I can save the city from pollution is I have to kill the rats. Now this is what Louis Pasteur did. You know, he was like that new tourist who never saw from where, what is the cause behind this bacteria and microbes to come in the first place. In Ayurveda, we have this concept, you know, there could be a real genuine cause of a disease, and there could be a, in Sanskrit it's called as nimitta karana, which means a triggering factor. It's like saying, if somebody says, I got a flu, it is not that the bacteria created that flu. The body was weak to allow the bacteria to create that. Like the rat is not polluting the city. The waste that is dumped there, which was not recycled consistently, allowed the rats to come and distribute it. Mm-hmm. So instead of focusing on the waste that was being dumped and not cleaning it, we are so fixated on the rats by killing them, which we can also call it as antibiotics.
Mm-hmm.
That is why antibiotics has to be updated, because the rats will develop better immunity and say, hell with your antibiotics.
Mm.
So if you look at infectious diseases, if you look at such kind, unless it is an emergency, use of modern medicine could be reduced.
Mm-hmm.
And in modern medicine, immunity is mostly about vaccination, flu shots. But if you look at systems like Ayurveda, immunity is all about your vitality.
So can you talk a little bit about the waste piling up? So if we don't want to just kill the rats, we basically have to do something about the rubbish.
Yeah, exactly.
So now, that's what you're doing, but how does it work?
Because, see, if you see the word for human body in Sanskrit is called as sharira. If you look at the etymology of this Sanskrit word sharira, it says that our body is something that which keeps dying every moment. You know, we are a constant dying mechanism. Every split second, millions of cells are dying in our liver and new cells are being formed, which actually means we are constantly eliminating waste.
Mm.
So when a waste elimination has been blocked, it will create disease. And disease is the way the body is trying to eliminate the waste in another way. For example, let's say there is a car and you keep a tennis ball in the exhaust pipe.
Mm.
It will be very difficult for you to start the car, mm-hmm. because the tennis ball will block the flow of energy and block the flow of waste outside. The same way, now imagine somebody puts a poison in your blood. You know, we could have different reactions to it. You know, we could throw up, we could have a diarrhea, we could sneeze, we could have allergies. I mean, these are the way the body is trying to communicate. I want to get rid of something from the body I don't want. And that is why in Ayurveda, we have a concept called as Vegas. Vegas means the natural urges of the body. Like, if you suppress your urge to sleep for a long period, the body will have its own problems. If you suppress your urge to eliminate waste, the body will have its own problems. So the natural urges, the more you suppress, the body will come into different problematic issues. And usually the disease is the way the body is trying to eliminate it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, why do we have fever? When you have fever, the body raises its temperature to eliminate the sweat. And sweat is the way you eliminate many of the toxins.
Yeah.
And skin is the largest organ of your body. And through lymphatic system, you are eliminating a lot of waste. So Ayurveda talks about understanding how your body is communicating and listening to that energy. And if you try to suppress it, maybe symptomatically you are solving it for temporary period, and then later it will show up in different ways.
So now then, I have two questions. First thing, how do we stop piling up waste?
Mm-hmm.
And then if we have done it already, how do we get rid of it?
I mean, first of all, preventing the waste piling is the best way.
Yeah.
And considering the lifestyle that we have today, I read in a book, a historian was claiming 10,000 years ago, when the agricultural revolution was about to start, the human consumption of sugar was about 20 teaspoons per year. And today we consume about 22 teaspoons per day.
Mm-hmm.
So that's
slight
like
increase.
That's like an exponential increase of sugar. At the same time, our physical activity has reduced.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, as most of the works that was done, humanity has been replaced by robots and machines. So physical activity has also reduced, because when you move, when you do a lot of physical activity, your body also releases lots of waste.
Mm-hmm.
So more of consumption is happening and less of activity is happening today. So this has led to more piling of the waste than any other time in the history of humanity, mm-hmm. when you look back. So one is, we have to definitely reduce and be extremely mindful of what is going inside your mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Because only what goes inside your mouth is going to show up in your body, because this is what is converting into your blood tomorrow.
Yeah.
So we are rarely told how to be more disciplined about what we consume. And today we live in a night out dining culture. You know, everybody mm-hmm. is told, why do you have to cook? Let's go out and eat. Mm-hmm. And restaurants are more interested in entertaining your taste buds. They mm-hmm. are not really concerned what happens to you after the food passes through your taste bud. The next morning, how do you feel? How is your health afterwards? And that is why today we have such diseases called as gluten intolerance, lactose intolerance. Actually, lactose intolerance is not a disease. It's actually a therapy the body has enforced because the body is fed up of too much of stuff the body cannot handle.
Mm.
And if you can...
Is it different to gluten?
Yes, gluten intolerance is another condition. Lactose intolerance is because of overconsumption of milk and your ability to digest has gone down.
And with gluten, it's different.
It's the same.
It's the same.
You are not able to digest it.
All right. Yeah. Yeah. So that's what I was thinking, because there's so many people, it's like almost hip to be gluten intolerant or mm-hmm. lactose intolerant. So, am I able to get rid, like if it's a result of my lifestyle and then I have gluten and lactose intolerance, am I able to get rid of those intolerances by panchakarma therapy?
See, now let me rephrase that.
That's the German
gluten,
brain.
Yeah, gluten intolerance, you can call diabetes as sugar intolerance.
Yeah.
You know, because you consume too much of sugar, the body is not able to process it in a proper way.
Yeah.
The body's ability to process has been fluctuating and it has become irregular. So diabetes, we can call it as a sugar intolerance disease.
Yeah.
And gluten intolerance or lactose intolerance, what it says is the body has to improve its ability to digest these two things. Maybe at one point these were overfed and our ability to digest has gone low. So by doing panchakarma, what is happening is we open up the waste elimination capacity of the body.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's not just a massage. People think Ayurveda means it's a massage or Shirodhara. It's way beyond that. It's like saying New York is all about Times Square, you know.
Mm-hmm.
There's much more than that. So if you try panchakarma, we try to open up all the waste exits in the body and try to eliminate maximum toxins. At the same time, we have to make sure the body is safe. In a safe environment, we allow the body to eliminate maximum toxins, so you feel way better. It's like when you declutter your home. When you enter after that, how do you feel? You feel like lots of good energy there.
Mm-hmm.
The same is with the body. So by doing a cleanse, what happens is the body becomes open to new things. It's like you have a computer which is full of bugs. Once you format it, then your ability to work on it is way better.
Yeah.
And the same is with panchakarma. To a great extent, we work on cleaning the gut, but there is a proper scientific procedure to do that. In Ayurveda, it was told many hundreds of years ago, who should do that, how it has to be done, who should not do it, and for them, what are the alternatives? It is very clearly explained.
One question, in the West anyway, or in Germany anyway, that's just very... very many people like to do like those juice cleanses mm-hmm. or like smoothie cleanses. What is your opinion on that?
It's a way of cleaning the system. You are just limiting the body from having too much of food that the body is not able to digest.
Yeah.
So when you limit the intake of so much of food, the body will naturally clean. You know, body is one of the most powerful detoxing agent naturally. But by cleansing, what we are doing is we are limiting the intake of the food.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, you want to clean a room. It is better to clean the room when people are not there.
Yeah.
When people are there, you can still clean it, but the cleaning will not be as efficient.
Yeah.
So by limiting the intake, at the same time, you are putting other easy to digest supplements or liquids or juices or herbs. That way the body is able to heal and clean itself faster.
All right. So you'd even recommend, like it's in your perspective, I mean, it's even...
Fasting is a detox.
Yeah.
You know, fasting is told not only in Ayurveda, in many different Even in religious sects, they say, talk about fasting during a particular period of time.
Yeah, I'm just wondering because you know how smoothies, how they make the smoothies nowadays with all those extras and like it's raw. So that's not really that recommended for everybody in Ayurveda, like those raw.
There is no universal formula in Ayurveda. Yeah. Everybody will have a customized approach. One size doesn't fit everyone.
That's probably for some people it might be beneficial and for some it won't.
I mean, you take nutrition, you see people who eating raw food, they don't add salt, and you see people cooking and adding salt. Both of them works to some people. It's not that one fits to everyone.
I can see that. So can you tell us a little bit more about that Panchakarma therapy? I don't know if it's, we don't want to scare anybody, but yeah, maybe because there's very special things you actually do here to clean the body. I think that might be interesting.
It is not something that is having a universal formula for every person. Now, Panchakarma is five procedures that talks about how to clean the system. And depending on one person at that particular time, what is his problems and what are the possible toxicity that created that problem, we will try to address that. For example, if you are having bloating all the time after having food, or you feel heavy after food, or you have too much of heartburn, acidity, or we call it Säure in German. If they are having that issue, then cleaning the stomach is a very good solution for that. So we give a special herb that will go and irritate the gut. So it will cleanse all the things. It's like a induced diarrhea. And the reason why body gets diarrhea is something when you eat and the body doesn't like it, cleanses itself. So same way, we artificially induce by giving a herb that is a mild irritant to the gut. So this cleanses the whole system. And see, Panchakarma was learned from the nature. I mean, if you see a dog, if it doesn't feel good, it goes and eats the grass and it just vomits. And after that, it feels very good. Same way, if you drink something that the body doesn't want, it will try to throw it out, like you vomit it out. So today, if you have a problem of too much of sugar consumption, or if you have history of asthma, or if you have history of migraine, sinusitis, including depression, one of the therapies we do is, first of all, we need to understand if the person fit enough to do this therapy. We have to check his heart rate. And if he's also having the willpower to do that, we give them a special liquid and make that person to vomit. And this lasts for about 30 to 45 minutes. In the early morning, we do that. And during that time, we observe what we give to that person to drink and what comes out are two different things. Because all the mucus and unwanted stuff from the body, we release it. And after that, the change that we see in that person's face and that energy is completely different. Okay, some people get scared, oh my God, how can I do that? But we are trained to see the body as a creation of nature. Every part of the body is sacred. And making a person vomit or undergo diarrhea, it's as good as taking a shower. Because we don't have those cultural taboos or religious taboos. We look at body as one whole creation of nature.
And it's so interesting too because, you know, I know it, but so many people think if you get a fever, you have to get it down again. Like they actually think the fever itself is the problem. Or, you know, if they feel bad or have a headache, they have to stop the headache, but they don't get that it's like an information from within. So, yeah, I think there's a lot of training needed to be done to like just to create this awareness, I guess. And can you, you know, you did this talk the other night, so I'd really like to get the listeners or the ones who watch now to hear that story. You know, you talked about acidity and the dryness and the net. Can you tell us about that?
See, if you go to a tropical climate area, you'll see something called as the mosquito net. Mosquito net's purpose is to prevent the mosquitoes to enter your room, but at the same time you want the fresh air to enter inside. If you take our gut, the lining of the gut is very similar to the mosquito net. like mosquito net, like it has to allow the nutrition to enter and the waste to get eliminated.
Yeah.
When we consume too much of food that are sticky in nature.
Like what?
Like sugar.
Like sugar.
Lactose and gluten. All these are quite sticky in nature.
Mm-hmm.
And if the food you're eating, if it is processed.
Processed food?
Yeah,
all
processed
right.
food.
Yeah.
If it is quite sticky in nature, if it is taking longer time to digest, this can go and block the mosquito net for a longer period. When this is blocked, the body has to invest a lot more energy to get rid of that because, okay, the purpose of mosquito net is only to prevent the mosquitoes.
Yeah.
Not to block the oxygen to entering. So, same way, the gut, the purpose of that gut's mosquito net is to allow the nutrition to enter and at the same time stop the waste to get eliminated.
Yeah.
But if it is too sticky, it can block the entry there. And then body will release many enzymes and fluids to get rid of this sticky stuff covering the mosquito net. In the end, it will also tear apart the mosquito net.
Mm.
Now, in modern medicine...
What happens then?
Huh?
What then? What,
in
what
modern medicine, they have a new department called as functional medicine. Now, they have come up with a term for this problem called as leaky gut.
All right.
It's like the mosquito net is having
holes.
Is it
broken forever then?
No, it heals. For sure it heals. There's nothing like it's broken forever. The body has a way to heal itself. So one thing is we reduce the intake of this sticky stuff.
Mm-hmm.
We become more mindful in the schedule of what we are eating.
Mm-hmm.
And along with that, we give you some herbs and medicines that will help to heal the mosquito net much faster.
All right. So is there anything we can, apart from stop eating that much sticky stuff and getting into like a functional eating pattern, is there anything else when you say here you would get, you would just cleanse and get those herbs, is there anything else if people at home now think, yeah, I've got leaky gut or oh my God, I have to change it. Is there anything else they could add or leave out that would help this process?
See, gut is a very comprehensive organ. You know, even gastroenterologists today, they say that every week they are getting new research articles talking about how they are understanding how the gut is functioning. And our ability to understand how our emotions and our stress can influence our gut is also quite interesting. And if you see many of the inflammatory gut disorders like irritable bowel syndrome, ulcerative colitis, Crohn's disease, in modern medicine, they just give you an immune suppressant so that the immunity doesn't overreact and creating it worse. But in my experience, I've seen many people's life changing just by focusing on therapies that helps to relax their nervous system.
Mm-hmm.
When we get stressed, what happens is there is this hormone called as cortisol.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is released to our extremities. Because we want to survive the threat. You know, if a dog is running behind you, you want to run and escape. It is a life-threatening situation. So you have to run and escape. So at that time, your body is not worried about the bacteria in your foot. It just wants to escape from that.
Yeah.
So at that time, your body wants to escape from a life-threatening situation. So your immune system is going low. But today, even if the dog is not running after you, any kind of stress is giving the same message to the body, something is life-threatening.
Yeah.
It could be that I didn't have enough likes in my Facebook. It could be that...
Or Instagram.
Or I'm not happy that somebody didn't smile at me. It could be as simple as
my
that.
My boss.
The body is going to take stress as quite the same. And how our pattern has been developed. So when you are in that stressful pattern for a longer period, the body will compromise on the immune system and on your digestion also. So people say, with people who are having IBS, they would say, when I am in anxiety or something I'm worried about, my loose bowel movements are very high. So when they come here for 2 to 3 weeks, we focus 60 to 70% on relaxing their nervous system, giving them techniques how to handle stress. Along with that, we do the treatment for the gut and to heal that. That way we see a way bigger difference than just to treat on the gut.
Yeah.
So it is not that you have to, see, if something is wrong with the flowers, you don't go and fix the flower, you go to the root of the plant. You know, you have to make sure the plant is in the right place, the wastes are being removed, it is being watered properly, it is having enough sunshine. You make the environment of the plant more healthy so that the plant becomes healthy.
I think the sun is a problem in Germany. The sun that is not there. So what you're saying is there's like two main courses. Like what I'm getting is that there's like the lifestyle, the rubbish we're piling up, and then on top of that, we actually inhibit the body from cleaning because of the added stress.
Yes, stress creates maximum acid levels in the body.
Yeah,
and more of stress hormones are released in the body because of stress.
All right. So we actually have to check both, or like change both, like decrease.
Today, when I see most of the diseases, the greatest therapy that they can have is relaxation.
Yeah.
And when we say relaxation, people have a different mindset. What is relax? Relaxation means they think, okay, I want to go and relax, have some alcohol or the food that I want to eat.
Netflix.
That is not relaxation. That is entertainment. You're just being distracted. Yeah. Relaxation is somewhere you feel every muscle in your body is relaxed.
Yeah.
You feel calm and you feel at ease.
Yeah.
You know, a need for mental stimulation is not there. You're just at peace. That stage will help the body to heal faster than any other stage.
Yeah.
So, as we know, today the biggest disease is not heart attack or diabetes, it's depression and anxiety. Which means our world is slowly forgetting our ability to relax.
Mm.
So relaxation is going to be the greatest therapy of tomorrow's medicine.
Yeah, makes so much sense. And I realized when I came here, like the first week, it took me, like I was, my body was exhausted, but my energy and my mind wouldn't stop. Like. Mm. Even when I was lying around. So that was, yeah, now it's different. And do you have any tips on relaxation then? Like apart from everybody come here, everybody come here. But apart from that, like a quick fix or like something you can integrate in your everyday life, how to reduce stress?
Now, one of the reasons why people get stressed out is they are having unrealistic expectations.
Mm.
See, when your expectation is here, but your energy is here, this gap creates that.
Yeah.
And stress is lack of energy to face the reality.
Mm. So we can you say that again?
Stress is lack of energy to face the reality.
Mm.
So when your energy is low, every small thing can become a stressful pattern.
Yeah.
You know, oh, I don't have the energy to solve, so I'm getting stressed. And stress is another word for fear. You know?
Yeah.
I'm fearful, I will not be able to handle that.
Yeah, but nobody says fear today. Today they just say I'm stressed. Yeah,
stress is like a diplomatic word for fear, actually.
Yeah.
I feel I'm not able to do that. And if you see, there is one book called Flow. It talks about people are bored when they are not having enough challenges in their life.
Mm-hmm.
And people feel stressed when the challenge that they have to solve is bigger than what they can actually do.
Mm.
So we have to be in that in-between place where I am able to, like, let's say you play tennis. You are a medium expert. So if you play with some beginner, you'll get bored.
Yeah.
At the same time, if you play with a super expert, you feel stressed.
Yeah.
So you have to understand where you stand and connect with that where you can actually solve, and slowly, step by step, you grow.
Yeah, that is so interesting, because that was one aha in one of the courses I taught the other day, where we just realized that many of the women I teach, they try to keep up with, I don't know, whoever, the girls at work or their husband or their friends, they just try to keep up. And that's exactly like playing with an expert, but being a medium type player, I totally get that. But then the next question comes up, that is so unfair. Mm. Like, how come they can go on and I can't? And what can I do to like raise my standards, like become an expert at tennis? How can I do that? Or is it fixed? Like, is it am I deemed to be like a medium tennis mm-hmm. player, or can I raise the bar?
Now that's like saying a woman in her second month of pregnancy saying, oh, it is not fair, the woman in the ninth month is able to deliver the baby. Just because you have nine women doesn't mean you can produce a baby in 1 month. Mm. Everything has its time. And everything, it's about your consistency.
Yeah.
So now today, we are so focused on the outcome, forgetting about the process. Oh, I just want to be the number one, but we don't understand the people who reach that number one, how much effort they put and how much consistent they were in reaching there.
Yeah.
Because you never see that part, you just see the flashy part of being on top. And if you are not able to get that, that means I'm not good enough. So that pattern comes, I'm not good enough, I'm not good enough. And we are not able to invest our energy into what is the process that is taking us there.
Yeah.
So usually people who are so focused on the outcome, forgetting about the process, they are more prone to get stressed, depressed, anxious.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I get that.
It's all about, our brain is a control freak. It always wants to control something.
Mine is definitely a control freak.
And like the Stoic Marcus Aurelius, he said, the difference between a person who is relaxed and a person who is stressed, a relaxed person focuses on things to control that he can actually control. But a stressed out person is trying to control that he cannot. Like mm-hmm. we cannot control the weather.
Mm-hmm.
But I can control if I should wear the right outfit or get an umbrella if it's raining.
Mm-hmm.
Or should I wear enough clothes to protect myself from the cold.
Mm-hmm.
So focusing on what you can control is where you can get rid of stress.
Yeah.
And if you are really stressed, the question you need to ask is, where should I refocus on things that I can actually control?
Yeah.
And where should I stop focusing on things that I'm not able to control? And today that is the biggest cause of the disease.
Yeah.
You see, 80% of the diseases that are explained in the modern medicine are called as diseases of unknown cause. I mean, imagine if you do not know what is the real cause of a disease, how can you actually treat them?
Mm.
It's like going to a casino.
Mm.
Well, it's not that you don't know the cause. I mean, we all know that when somebody is stressed, the possibilities of blood pressure rising is high.
Yeah.
But blood pressure is still considered as a disease of unknown origin.
Ah, interesting.
It's just that we are trying to find that one single button that creates
that.
It's a That's collective
Western,
thing. You know?
What are some examples of people that have come here with whatever story and have left differently? Like, can you just tell one or two examples of changes people have made coming here?
One thing that I see recently is women having irregular menstrual cycle. And depending on the lifestyle, now, okay, this was a case with a flight attendant. She was constantly traveling different time zones, long haul flights. And it's been more than a year when she had a menstrual cycle. And she doesn't know what has to be done to change that. So, okay, she came here, we helped her, within 3 months, the menstrual cycle came back. Now they question, how is that possible that a pill couldn't, or a tablet or something couldn't change? Now the explanation I give them is, it's the story of that father who's reading a newspaper and his little son is coming to disturb him. And he goes and disturbs him to get his attention, but the father is irritated that he's disturbing. So what he does to keep him engaged, he goes and removes a piece of paper which has the world map, tears it into few pieces and gives it to him, tells him, fix the world map and come back. So he thought that will take some hours. But he comes back in few minutes and the father is surprised, how did you manage to do that? Oh, behind that world map, there was a face of a man.
On the other
and
side?
Mm-hmm. I just fixed that face of the man and the world map just came. Same way, we focus on the basics. We focus on the sleep. We focus on the waste elimination. In her example, she goes to toilet once in 5 to 6 days. That is chronic constipation.
Mm.
And when you have that, it can create many other issues. So first thing is, we corrected that. Of course, we did a deep cleansing. And then she was into a habit of being extremely fitness addict. You know, if she doesn't go to gym or do a fitness activity every day, she can, it's like telling an alcohol addict, no more alcohol, you know, telling her don't do any more exercise. She wants to stay fit. If she's not fit, if she's putting an extra inch of fat anywhere, that creates panic.
All right.
So we had to make her understand there is a difference between fitness and health and vitality.
Mm-hmm.
Health and vitality need not be the same as fitness. Fitness is all about looking attractive.
Yeah.
But vitality and health is about how fast your body is recovering from some, how good is your immune system. So we had to change that mindset and reduce her exercise. So when you exercise too much, your body can also burn out. You know?
Yeah.
So we have to reduce and tell her to reduce the intensity of that. And after all the cleanses that we did, we changed her eating habits, sleeping pattern, because her sleep was always disturbed because of different time zones.
Mm.
And then we gave her some herbal supplements and also some iron supplements because her iron was low. And once the iron came back, within 3-4 months, she tells back for the first time after almost a year, the menstrual cycle is back. And she was diagnosed as a condition called as polycystic ovarian syndrome, which means she's not fertile. And he has those.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the solutions is to do a surgery for that.
All right.
And later when she did the ultrasound scan, you know, we do the scan, the cysts have been dissolved.
Mm.
And I'm not saying every case has been successful. It also depends on how much they are cooperating with us.
Mm.
So that is why we can never give a guarantee if we can solve a problem.
Yeah.
It is like saying you can never get a guarantee just because you go to gym, you'll get a good body or six packs. You know,
or it depends you get on how much you contribute. Gym membership at
exactly.
least. That must be enough.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So it's about how much are you willing to participate with the team here.
Yeah. Great. Thank you so much. I think that was quite a lot. I just have some minor last things.
Yes.
Can you finish the following sentence? The world needs
more understanding of nature's intelligence.
Of nature's intelligence? Yes. Yeah, I totally agree. Love is
beautiful.
Yes, get that. I am grateful for
my life.
Yeah, I can just, this is just the best office ever. Thank you so much. Everybody listening or watching, this is the place to become healthy.
Thank you.
So you better come and change stress and lifestyle.
And relax and enjoy life.
Yeah, yes, good thing. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
So, cool oder cool? Ich bin echt ein Riesenfan von Vignesh. Ich finde, er ist einfach so toll. Der vereint so schön diese indische Art, parallel aber mit seinem kosmopolitischen Wesen und Wissen. Also der ist ja auch offen für total viele andere Sachen. Ist einfach super schön, von diesem fundierten Wissen und dieser Offenheit gleichzeitig zu profitieren. Ich hoffe, du konntest ganz viel mitnehmen. Schau auf jeden Fall mal rein. Wir verlinken alles in den Shownotes für das Resort von ihm, aber auch für seine Mastermind. Genau, und ansonsten, wenn du Bock hast, mit mir zu detoxen, alles auf ichgold.de/easydetox zum Buch und für den Kurs Easy Detox -Week. In diesem Sinne hoffe ich, dass das von der Tonqualität okay ist. Ich nehme das Intro-Outro nämlich gerade aus Costa Rica in einem Coworking Space auf und hier ist so eine komische Lüftung in der Phonebox, wo ich hier drin bin. Aber es ist der leiseste Ort, den ich finden kann. Ich schicke dir eine große Portion Sonne nach Deutschland oder wo auch immer du dich befindest. Ich hoffe, es geht dir wunderbar und ich freue mich, wenn du all das in den nächsten Tagen, das tiefgehende Ayurveda-Wissen, genauso inspiriert aufsaugst, wie ich das schon damals, 2019, getan habe. Ich drück dich, deine Dana.